10 minutes now before 10 o'clock. And welcome back to the Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher along with Katie Eldridge. And I'm honored to bring back to the KPCW studios documentary filmmaker Rory Kennedy. Good morning.
Good morning.
And just to explain, you've got a little bit of a frog in your voice. So
I have a Sundance voice.
Right. So you're really here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's official.
Well, I've got to say, this is what, your fourth, fifth trip to Sundance?
Probably this is the fifth film I've directed at Sundance, and I've produced a number of others.
Yeah. And so I'm starting to think that kind of Park City is the West Coast Hyannis port for the Kennedy clan.
Yeah, exactly. This is our home away from home.
Well, you used to be Aspen, but now you spend a lot of time skiing?
I personally come here. I come here for Christmas now every year and really enjoy skiing at Park City. Love that mountain, and we come here with our family and our kids, and it's just a great community. And it really is, you know, I've been coming to Sundance for so many years, and now I know a lot of people in the community as a result of that, and we fell in love with the place, and now we come here for our holidays.
Wonderful. I was certainly around, but don't remember the last days of Vietnam. What I do recall, though, is chaos. So maybe... And part of it was the American government, we need to get the heck out of Vietnam. So maybe you can just give us a little bit about what the last days of Vietnam are.
And I think what you say is exactly right. And I think that's what most people know about the last days in Vietnam. You're familiar with that iconic image of the people getting in the helicopter on the top of what most think is the embassy. It's actually not. But I think that's what people know, and they think they know what happened. But our film really unpacks a very complex story of what was going on the ground. We interview people only, who were on the front lines of what happened. And we show that the Saigon fell much faster than anybody expected it to. And as a result of that, the U.S. said, we need to just get U.S. personnel out of Saigon. And at that point, there was no military presence. So there were about 6,000 or 7,000 people in Saigon, Americans. They wanted to get out, but then there were all these people on the ground, and this is really the focal point of our story. Americans who knew that if they left their counterparts or their friends behind, the South Vietnamese, who, you know, they worked with closely, who had collaborated with Americans, they might be the translators or the cooks or, you know, CIA agents there on the ground, they would be killed, or they'd be tortured, or they'd be sent to concentration re-education camps. And so these Americans went against U.S. policy and risked their lives to get Vietnamese out of the country. And so our story is really a ticking clock scenario of, you know, the North is coming in and they're trying to get as many of their friends out as possible through airplanes, helicopters, boats, whatever they can do, and have sort of a makeshift plan to do that. But very dramatic stories and some extraordinary stories that have never been told before.
How did you find all of these people who were actually there?
Well, we did, you know, some initial research, and I had been asked to make a film about the last days of Vietnam by Mark Samuels at American Experience. And I was interested in the topic, but I didn't really understand or appreciate the depth of it and really appreciate it. Once I started uncovering some of these stories of these people, you know, that's really where I became the focal point, because I felt like, you know, these are incredible stories that have never been told before. And so I was very excited to then identify some of these people. Yeah, a lot of them knew each other. But, you know,
one leads to the other.
Yeah, and then there had been some books written, so it was a combination of research and people connecting me to other people, you know, and you sort of start the process, and it opens up a world, and then it becomes sort of more of a question of narrowing it down.
Yeah, were you able to talk to any of those, though, that got left behind?
Yes, we did. And so that's a big part of our story. We interviewed a number of South Vietnamese who had been left behind and weren't able to get out and help tell their stories as well. So you really understand what's at stake. And, you know, it was absolutely a dark spot in American history, but it's, you know, I think you watch the film and you actually ultimately feel very proud to be an American when you see the people on the front lines and everything that they did and the real humanity of it. And I think it paints a kind of interesting picture of Washington, because we interview Kissinger, we interview the people who put the policies in place. They're thousands of miles away writing these policies on a piece of paper. Then you see the people on the ground, on the front lines, and the choices that they have to make. And, you know, a lot of them made very heroic choices.
Can we talk a little bit about the archival footage, photos? Did you find pieces that had never been seen, or was there some nuggets that you were so excited to unearth?
Well, one of the stories we tell in the film is about the USS Kirk, which was a ship that was monitoring and protecting the fleet where the helicopters were going to from the embassy. They were taking people to a fleet out in the ocean. They were protecting it in case the North came in, started to attack them. And what happened was all these U.S. helicopters were going out, but then they were followed by South Vietnamese helicopters because, you know, the South Vietnamese saw them taking off and they were like, well, we have these helicopters, we're going to follow them. So all these Hueys start coming out and nobody knows who they are or what they're doing up there. And so the U.S. Kirk, they start hovering above the U.S. Kirk. And so the captain of the Kirk makes the decision, have them land. And so the first one lands and it's got, you know, 17 Vietnamese on this teeny little helicopter made for four people. They all come out. They're so grateful. And, you know, it's an incredible moment. But there was a guy on the boat who was filming all of it.
Oh my God.
And so then what happens is there's another helicopter and another one right above him. But they don't have room because they're not a landing ship. And so the crew says to the captain, what should we do with the helicopter? And he says, made this decision, throw it overboard. Make room for the next one. So there's all this footage, incredible footage of these guys, you know, and they're not on wheels. So they have to kind of bump the helicopter overboard. And they put, you know, 17 guys pushing this helicopter overboard.
One after the other.
And then the next helicopter comes down. They get everybody out and they push this helicopter overboard. You know, it's a moving ship. I mean, it's extraordinary footage. And I was at a screening of Ethel, which was my previous film. And I had invited a number of people who I had identified for this film to come to the screenings. And so one of them came up to me afterwards and he said, hey, you know, I've got this buddy and I just talked to him. And he said he was just in his attic and uncovered all this footage, 8mm footage, and it says USS Kirk on it. He's never developed it. Would you be interested in that?
Maybe.
Yeah. Can I have his name and his number and his email? And I've all. So the next morning at 9 a.m., I call the guy, and he has it, but he won't release it. He won't FedEx it to me. I was in California.
You had to fly to him.
I flew him across the country, and he hand-delivered it to me, and we went and developed it, and it was, you know, a treasure trove of extraordinary footage.
So you never know. As a documentary filmmaker, you don't know where it's going to come from.
No. It's the documentary gods that you had to pray to.
Well, and then some of the subjects that you met, did they have their own photos and stuff that could add to the?
Yeah, so we have personal photos and images that I think really enrich the film. I think the archival is really, really strong. And, you know, some of the networks like NBC and ABC and CBS were covering it, particularly NBC. So we got some great footage from them as well. But it's supplemented by a lot of stuff that nobody's ever seen before.
Well, you feel like you must have really made it when you have American Experience knocking on your door and saying, we'd like you to make this movie. That's got to be great. Huh?
Yeah, it's great. And American Experience is such a prestigious series. And they were really fantastic to work with and make this film together. So I'm very honored.
So in closing, can we just talk about...
Well, we got about a minute to do
one minute. But I mean, you've done so many documentaries and it's at a breakneck pace in many ways. One every year.
But more or less.
And do you have many brewing to
Well, I'm working on producing two other films right now, which are not theatrical films, but are part of a series called Makers, which is about the women's movement. And I'm doing a segment on women in Hollywood and another one on women in politics.
There's no end to topics.
Yeah, it's true.
Rory Kennedy, thank you so much for coming. Last Days in Vietnam, there's still several showings. We've got the Tuesday at the Tower Theater in Salt Lake, Saturday at the Yarrow.
Thanks, Rory.
Congratulations.
Thank you all. So appreciate it.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
You're listening to KPCW Park City. Stay tuned now. We've got music. It's 10 o'clock here in Park City, Utah.